Well, this is not related to the program exactly, certainly not tonight's topic, but not tonight's topic, the strange little song a while ago that was sort of a little poem with some sort of like creepy music behind it was done by a band called Flash and the Pan. And the name of the song is Lights in the Night. Strange little band, and pretty good. And you just heard David Werner from the Heard It on the Radio album, and that's called What's Right. We will come back with our guest tonight, Sterling D. Allen, and we'll get into those five sources of energy and much, much more. Just stay where you are, if you can, on Coast to Coast AM. They used to call me Space Cadet back in the old days, but I graduated as Space Commander. I'm actually hoping for Space Lord one day, but, you know, I sometimes just don't think it's going to happen. Sterling D. Allen, the people, several million of our closest friends are enjoying the program tonight, and somebody just pointed out that in a recent National Geographic story, China's going renewable in a big way, big solar fields and wind farms and stuff like that, while in the meantime, we have put the quash on this Keystone Pipeline thing. So it's like, you feel like petroleum-based energy is about to be passé, yes? Or not so much?
Yeah.
I think we're stuck with it for a while? Or
wind is going to become obsoleted by some of these technologies because the sun only shines so much of the day. And in some climates, if you're above the Arctic Circle, it goes down for months at a time. And so solar has limitations. Wind has limitations. They have their role. They've been transitional technologies away from fossil fuels. But the exotic technologies we're talking about will kick butt. They'll be so cheap, 24/7, 365, available, easy to get, easy to service. That's the kind of stuff we're talking about. And that's why they haven't wanted this stuff to come out, is because it is so kick-butt. It makes them obsolete. It makes the powers that be that want to control us through these things irrelevant.
It's interesting that I'll just toss this out there in case anybody kind of grabs onto my meaning here. The British used to rule the motorcycle manufacturing industry. You know how they lost it? The lack of an electric starter. So the people who are in control now are liable to lose their market from a lack of vision. So let's start into this. Would you explain to me a couple of things and our friends? What is zero point energy and what is ECAT?
Okay. Let's start with ECAT. ECAT is number one in our top five. It is a cold fusion technology, and cold is in opposition to hot, as in millions of degrees on the surface of the sun, where two atoms smash together, fuse together into one, into a new atom, and that's called fusion. Cold fusion means, well, you don't have to have the millions of degrees. In this case, you get up to about 400 and 450 degrees Celsius, and hydrogen and nickel, in the presence of catalyst, supposedly, and a little bit of pressure, voila, you get copper and a lot of energy, and that's something that you can do quite easily.
Now, when you say energy, do you mean heat?
No, this is not a form of zero-point energy.
Okay. I guess what I'm asking, Sterling, is when you say you get a lot of energy, what form is that energy in?
Heat. Oh, yeah.
Ah, gotcha. Yeah, yeah.
ZEEP as in zero-point energy.
Okay, gotcha.
Okay.
All right. So it is heat.
It's heat, yeah.
Now, you know, we've been round and round with this cold fusion thing. This has been going on for years. It's like, we've made it work. And it's like, no, they didn't make it work. They did make it work this time. Well, no, it didn't actually work the way they thought. So does it work or not? Is cold fusion a real thing?
It is a real thing. And I have to tell you a quick anecdote. When cold fusion was given the kibosh back in 89 when it first came out, it was done by, it was kind of initiated by MIT, where they had hot fusion scientists, quote-unquote, replicate or try to replicate the effect. And these are hot fusion scientists in billions of dollars of programs where if cold fusion is real, they're obsoleted and their funding dries up on their project, a pet project. So they had a vested interest. They should have recused themselves. And before the results were even in, they had a wake for cold fusion. And there was a press conference that went out, and that was basically what started the whole junk science nomenclature that has stuck with it ever since. That was at MIT. That is shameful. That's criminal. There have been millions of lives that have died, that have been expended, that could have been saved from energy devices, that it could have come back, you know, two decades ago if they had not put the kibosh on cold fusion that spelled disaster to their hot fusion research. And so, yes, cold fusion is real. It's been replicated by somewhere around 17,000 times around the planet. It is very real. And in this case, in a press conference last year, Andrea Rossi demonstrated a 10 kilowatts of heat with university professors and others present to validate the input and the output and that it was producing that much heat. And he said that in October he was going to be doing a 1 megawatt demonstration. And I mentioned that on the when I was on with George Norrie on March 23rd. And Andrew Rossi met that deadline. I attended that in Bologna, Italy. On October 28th, he had a 1 megawatt system composed of 100 reactors with or 100 modules with three reactors each, and each reactor is about the size of a D-cell battery producing about 10 kilowatts of heat. Okay, that's a lot of energy in that much space. And 1 megawatt, by the way, is the size of a small locomotive in terms of the energy equivalent. We're talking heat here, not locomotion, but just to give you an idea, in that demonstration, they did 0.5 megawatt in a self-loop mode for 5.5 hours. And the customer, this thing that I went to was a test by the customer of the device to see if they were going to buy it, see if it signed off. And the customer signed off, said, yes, we're satisfied, we're going to buy this product, and they bought 12 additional 1 megawatt units. And that unit is available for sale right now. You can purchase one for two. Actually, they dropped the price from $2 million to $1.75 million for a 2 megawatt, I mean, for a 1 megawatt cold fusion plant. And coming within 12 to 18 months, they're going to be mass producing a home unit that will be 10 kilowatts and cost $500. That's $50 per kilowatt.
Well, are we going to be like all with beards like ZZ Top by the time this stuff hits the store shelves? And then in the alternative, why, if this is so dynamic, are all of the people, including the devices, isolated on some government gulag somewhere, keeping it away from the people?
Well, in this case, apparently the first customer, from what we can gather and putting some pieces of information together, is the U.S. military, of all things.
Always. They always get the good stuff first. We know this.
At least in this case, they're not sequestering it like they did with UFO technology. In this case, they're good and bad in every organization and every person on the planet. You have good and bad in you. I have good and bad in me. The CIA has good and bad in them. The military has good and bad mixed there too. And so, just because the U.S. military is the first customer here is not necessarily a bad thing in this case, I think.
Well, unless of course, I mean, I'm sure they're one of their backroom people. The boffins are. How can we weaponize this? You know somebody's doing it, you know?
Well, one of the things that's cool about this technology, there's no radioactivity produced from it. There's no, there's nothing you have to bury or hide somewhere. And if it, there's no such thing as a meltdown. If it gets too hot, it just stops working.
Gotcha. That's very interesting.
So that's a very safe technology. That's number one. And there's a lot more things we could say about it, such as that they're working with National Instruments, one of the most well-respected institutes on the planet, to do their control systems. They have submitted a few of their prototypes to UL to get the testing protocol going and ready for their testing of their device. These guys are rocking and rolling. I mean, they're not letting any dust settle on this project. He puts in... Andrea Rossi, the inventor, is putting in around 14 to 16 hours days, day after day. He's a very hard worker, and yet he's very responsive to the thousands of emails that come his way. When I send him an email, I get a response usually within 4 to 8 hours.
You know, we like to do the full disclosure thing on Coast as best we can without being just overtly indiscreet. So I'm about to launch into my mode of, I don't know which will be the more indiscreet, the question or the potential answer. But just as a couple of guys talking here, what do you think do you have any thoughts on the geopolitical ramifications, particularly where the Third World is concerned? If, let's say if all of a sudden the huge poverty-stricken masses on at least two continents were either provided with this kind of technology or were deprived of it, has there been any thought to what the ramifications for those societies might be, either with this technology or being deprived of it?
Well, this technology is a great equilibrator of mankind. It turns scarcity into abundance. Right now, everything is scarce. There's only so much to go around, and so the rich are rich because they get everyone to think that there's only so much of such and such. But if everything is abundant, now everyone gets to share equally, and wealth becomes somewhat irrelevant because now everyone gets to drive as far as they want without stopping for fuel because fuel is free.
Well, the elitists aren't going to like that very much.
Nope, and they're on their way out. They're obsoleted.
Well, let's look into the future here just before we go on to number two. If they're out of a job, who will take over? In other words, energy and technology really drives the development of a society. Would you agree? And if so, if this becomes widespread, the ones that are still clinging to their horses and rejecting the aeroplane, so to speak, what will become of them, and what will their control junkie syndrome morph into then?
Well, the people who want to live that way, I think, should be let to live that way. The Aborigines that want to live off the land and they don't want to change, I don't have a problem with that.
Well, I'm talking about the other guys, the guys that were formerly in power, and now they're not going to be because this abundance is made available without restraint to the masses, if you will.
Well, I hope a lot of them are going to end up behind bars because that's where they belong.
Agreed. Okay, we can leave it at that. There's no doubt their behavior has already crossed way over the line of criminality. I think there would be few who would disagree with that.
There may be some Schindlers among them who will use their positions of power to save a lot of lives and to prevent a lot of collapse. And I wanted to mention, you put a little blurb in at the top of the hour about a song that was played. And that's another industry that can help free energy. Writers, authors, musicians, include free energy as a new meme to get people thinking about this stuff. You know, write this into your scripts, write this into your, do stories about this in your publications.
Believe in it. Spread the word.
Yeah.
Put it out on the net while you still can. Well, you know, with all this restriction to the internet is just a fantastic tool for both communication and surveillance and a restriction and selective release of information to this group or that group. You know, this bunch can have it, but this bunch over here cannot. So maybe all this wringing of hands and tearing of hair and gnashing of teeth and rending of garments as well about what's going to happen in 2012. Do you see this as this as a Renaissance era?
Absolutely.
I do too.
Yeah. We posted a story yesterday, an interview that was done on the Project Camelot with Mr. Wood, a whistleblower from the Navy SEALs. And it's excellent, excellent presentation. So go to the January 20th at freeenergynews.com and watch that video. All your Coast listeners need to listen to that, and you guys need to have him on as a guest.
I want to make a note of that. Freeenergynews.com, the January 20.
Yeah. He talked about, he was involved in one of these forward-looking prophetic project that they have, where they look into this looking glass and they see the future and they play out different scenarios and they try and move things and try and steer things in their favor. And what he said was, no matter how they steer things, it comes to a bottleneck in December 2012 and they lose.
This is a whistleblower who's a former Navy SEAL. You don't hear about many of them.
Yeah, he actually was involved in bombing the Iraqi villages to create the terrorists, to create the angst, to create the anger that the terrorists that we're supposedly fighting. We created the terrorists with our own terrorists in the Navy SEALs. They blackmailed these guys, made them do their bidding, and bombarded these cities. This is all off, you know, outside of the media. They didn't give any coverage to this stuff. He's a major whistleblower. You all need to watch. It's an excellent expose, and he has a really positive message in the last half of the show.
Excellent. All right, and so that's freeenergynews.com, the January 20th, 2012.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this month. Are you saying yesterday?
Yesterday.
Okay, gotcha.
Yeah.
All right. All right, well, I'm 2 weeks into the future because I'm on the mothership, so I'm trying to deal in Earth time here. Just kidding. Well, would you like to move on to number two?
Yeah, let's go to number two. This one is really cool, too. It's a solid-state generator that we call the Endless Electric Field Generator.
Good grief.
To put it in very simplistic terms, so you can grab this quickly, you're aware of the piezoelectric effect where you move a little the electronics and it creates electricity. So they can put these on the dance floor, and people dancing on the floor makes electricity, and you run your lights with it. Well, these guys are doing this on an atomic scale, so they're actually harvesting the motion of atoms. And with modern technology where you can do what's called atomic deposition, where you can lay down a football field size area on the size of a postage stamp, these guys could have a postage stamp that powers your cell phone indefinitely. You'd never have to plug it in.
Are we entering the quantum arena now?
And the price tag would be $1 to manufacture.
Ooh. Well, that's a game changer.
Absolutely. And these guys are playing it really careful. I think they're being too timid, in my own opinion. They're you know, but this has been third-party tested by at least three or four. I visited these guys. I saw their little crude prototype, just putting out a few milliwatts. They've had one running continuously for 2 years. Very high-level third-party testing that's been done on it. They've got some excellent science behind it. This one actually doesn't violate any laws of physics. It does put some question marks on our understanding of a few things, but it's, and we put it in our exotic listing because you're not going to hear about this on CNN.
No. No, we're not.
And these guys are actually in my own backyard. After all these years of hunting down, you know, the best free energy technology, these guys are just a couple-hour drive away from where I live. And they're about 18 to 24 months from being in the marketplace. One of my skeptic friends actually was traveling from Australia here in the United States, going around visiting different free energy inventors. I said, Mark Danza, I said, you got to go check these guys out. He was in Denver at the time. So he flew over, checked them out, and he dropped everything. And he spent a couple of weeks trying to help them work with the business plan and get some financing and yada, yada, yada. He was so, you know, he said, these guys have got some amazing stuff, not just this technology. They have a number of things that they've got that are just amazing technologies. Imagine, this is the same technology we're just describing. Something the size of a business card could put, you slap it on your laptop computer and you'd never have to plug it in again.
That's extraordinary. Well, let's carry on here. We got to take a hard break, and if we don't stop pretty quick, they'll just turn us off. So let's get a glass of water and crack our backs and get back into it with our guest tonight, Sterling Allen. There's all kind of energy out there, and he's got a handle on it. And so do we. And so do you through Coast to Coast AM. Got an interesting little mail here that the question that I would like to pose to our guest tonight, Sterling D. Allen. For the common man, for the common poor person, what can we invest in or buy that would have an effect tomorrow? lost it all in the Louisiana hurricane and now finds himself in Iowa working mids and barely able to make ends meet. So that's the thing. That's what this is all about. No fear. Going forward. Get it done. Brutality will be overcome by what? Intelligence. Two armies go out on the battlefield. It's not a matter of guns and knives. It's a matter of which mind is superior to manipulate those implements of whatever battle you're involved in. Was that too obtuse? I hope not. This is Coast to Coast AM. We shall return. Sterling Allen, are there any avenues for investment that just regular folks, that term that became so popular of late, folks is folks. Well, how about just the people? Based on that little email about what can regular people invest in or buy that will have some sort of meaning to them or value in the future or otherwise affect their tomorrow?
Yeah, the answer to that question is, I would say, premier in my mind in the last decade is boat dogging, trying to find something that answers that question. And I can promise you with every fiber of my being that we are going to see a solution or an answer to that question emerging in a very practical way soon. I don't know how if that's going to be a matter of months, or it's going to be, I won't want to use the word guarantee, but I would say easily within a year, we will see some of these things begin to be available, possibly to on a limited basis to those, for example, who are really close to new services such as this, so they could be on a beta testing level. But within 2 years, easily, we will see these things mass produced so that a whole bunch of people can start getting a hold of them. I would love to see something go open source so that the answer to that question could be available. We could see something that people could buy now within a month or two if it went open source. If somebody could just put their pride aside, they got the answer, and not worry about getting rich, even though ironically, if you were to open source something like this, you would get rich a lot faster and probably get a lot more money through selling plans and kits and requesting that people remit a licensing fee or a royalty for all devices built commercially. You can't enforce it because you don't have a patent, but you can ask it nicely, and I think a lot of people would do the right thing. If I'm out getting a job because I'm able to make devices for my neighbors when I was unemployed before, I'm very grateful for those plans that I downloaded from the internet. And I'm going to send 5% to this, the headquarters that as they request, and the inventor's going to get rich really fast if thousands of people are doing that around the planet.
Understood. Did you have more? I didn't mean to interrupt you.
Basically, the answer to that question is right now, unfortunately, there's nothing that you can buy of that ilk other than some of the water for fuel technologies, where you get some hydroxy effects, where you, in the process of electrolyzing water, apparently zero-point energy or something of that ilk is showing up in the equation so that you get more energy out than the way it took to electrolyze the water in the first place to break it down from hydrogen dioxide into hydrogen and oxygen. Really interesting characteristics. It helps the fuel burn more efficiently. And in some cases, supposedly, you can run the entire engine on just water. And there's a lot of people researching that. So if you are a tinkerer, there are things that you can do right now to start, playing with the Bedini technology or the water for fuel technology. There are things that are not developed to the marketplace level yet. But if you're a tinkerer, you can start seeing some effects, and you can be among those who are helping to make it available to the people and doing the research and development to knock off the rough edges, figure out how it works, share your information with other people working on it, and then bring it to the planet.
This is a fantastic opportunity for people to be, well, it's cliche, but to become involved. I remember when I was a kid, there were so many kids, teenagers, who had Radio Shacks. You know, they literally would get a every household practically that I walked into in those days had a Heathkit catalog in there where you could get radio parts and build stuff, build your own shortwave, build this, build that. And then they'd actually make a little room. I mean, just a little crude plyboard room somewhere so that the guys and girls could get in there and play with this stuff. I mean, more guys were playing with it than girls were, but still a lot of brilliant people came out of those early tinkerings. They became really good engineers. They went to work for, you know, everybody from, you know, Raytheon to what became Raytheon to, you know, Philips and other companies. So
there's another entrepreneur opportunity is for somebody to come up with some things for the kids to play with, some educational things that are really fun, that really capture their imagination and help develop our next generation of scientists. Excellent point. I love that.
Yeah, buy them a computer modeling program. It doesn't have to be Halo 5. You know, you can have that too, or whatever the latest version is. But, you know, something that's real science. Science is intriguing. Discovery is rewarding. It's fun. It's like fun. And then if it's fun enough, then comes the profit. I got a quick question for you. Now, I'm a little on the I try to avoid too much naivete, but I want to ask you, why are some elements of the mainstream media bouncing back from solid state back to ECAT? Why are they trying to downplay this as some sort of a hoax?
Well, there's a number of answers to that question. One answer is that they're part of the establishment. They're prostitutes. They're just lapdogs doing their propaganda job. That's what they get paid to do. They get paid by pharmacy and other, you know, they do what they're paid to do. That's the short of it. The other answer is that they're subject to the junk science mentality that anything that doesn't come from MIT or some other established organization is to be questioned as most likely, you know, silly and not worth their even their attention whatsoever. And most of the journalists, I think, fall into that category, but those who are in the controlling position are in the first category, where they're prostitutes.
So it's prostitution again. That's yeah. What's so much fun about this program, Sterling, is that there's no filter. There's no lawyer. There's no approving the copy, and then I just read it like a little robot. We talk about whatever we want to. So any place that you want to take us, I'll go with you, and we'll do it at our own peril. And I'm not scared of it, so just let her rip. Where do you want to go next?
You know, I want to mention, I was hoping to talk about the top five, and we've only gotten to two of them so far. We did write a story and post it just before. In fact, I was saving it down even as the show started, you know, 5 minutes after the hour a couple hours ago. So if you go to freeenergynews.com, you'll see a link to the top five. And my associate, Hank Mills, has just done an excellent job in writing and distilling all this information for the last year. He's just been a real godsend for PESN. He's come along and done a lot of writing for us. Posted a story basically distilling in a really brief manner these top five technologies. So if we don't get to all of them tonight, you can go there and read that really quick distillery and get excited about what's out there. And yes, there are downsides and negative sides. And you were talking earlier about full disclosure. I should mention that, you know, we at PESN, we're not just a media organization. We don't fit in any kind of mold. And we do establish business relationships with some of these technologies that we cover. And we try and always mention that when that's the case. We have a relationship with ECAT. We have a relationship with the BP or MP Biomass that I'm going to be mentioning here shortly. I do want to get to that one before we get to questions. You know, we've got a relationship with Plasma after a fashion. And, you know, I finally realized, it just dawned on me at the end of last year, I'm not a journalist, I'm a cheerleader.
Gotcha.
You know, my role is to encourage these guys to be successful, not to tear them down and tell them why they're wrong. which is kind of what journalists typically are thought of as, is, you know, kind of being the bird dogs. That's what they're supposed to be. And, you know, we do some of that, but that's not my primary role. My primary role is to try and find and facilitate the very best clean energy technologies that are out there. And if we could, there's, of these top five, there's another one that's new that we didn't talk about when I was on with George Norrie on March 23rd. It's called MP Biomass. And the reason I want to talk about this one is because even though this one is not, doesn't really fit into the genre of exotic, there are some aspects of it that do. This is a technology that's been around for 10 years. And you hear in the United States about these power plants that are going to have to shut down, these coal power plants, because it's so expensive for them to comply with the increasingly stringent emissions requirements. And these guys can turn CO2 into methane and oxygen. And this is high cetane 60. You could put it in your fuel and run it without any modification. And there's no CO2 that comes from the plant when they are done with it. And they can go through your fly ash and pull out additional energy from it, fuel from the fly ash, and pull out the metals. And so rather than these plants being shut down because it's too expensive to keep running and complying with the emissions, they can comply with emissions over and above the emission standards and make money doing it. And we were the first to do, as far as I know, we were the first to give any coverage of them. We did a story on them last week. And I popped them into the top five in the place of Green Power Inc. that was there before them. It's a waste-to-energy company up in Oregon where they're taking municipal solid waste and turning it into high-grade fuel. A similar type, it's a very different process, but it's waste to energy. And if I consider this free energy, because as long as there are humans on the planet, there will be waste, and one man's trash is another man's treasure. And these guys turn that trash into treasure. And so
that's,
it's
amazing.
A very, very positive message to the powers that be want to cripple and destroy America, because America stands for freedom. It's this bastion of freedom for the world, and has been importing, exporting freedom for a couple of centuries. But more recently, we've been exporting, more like socialism and debauchery and yada, yada, yada. And that's got to change. But they want to destroy America, and they want to destroy our energy infrastructure as well. And this technology can keep them from succeeding in their plans to wipe out our energy security as a country.
Let me ask you this. Sterling, do you believe that we're going to have to do a changing of the political guard here, just from the top down, to get this accomplished? In other words, how can we, the people, stop this? Do you have any thoughts on that? Because it seems to me that it's going to start with our elected officials.
I want to brag a little bit here and illustrate something in so doing. Back in 2002, when I started this free energy news service, I was also involved in religio-political studies and awakening and getting people informed. And we actually launched Paul2004.com. We were trying to collect signatures to encourage Ron Paul to run for president. That was in 2002. We ran that website, and it's been taken over by porn sites since the 2004 election. So don't go to Paul2004.com now. Go to archive.org and then look it up that way, because you can see the archived version of it. But I mentioned that because it shows, I think, my sniffer sense of what's coming down the pike. I was very right in my bird-dogging Ron Paul as a winner. And now I am so tickled to see how well he's doing. And Ron Paul is not just another politician. He is not establishment. Every other politician you see running, except Gary Johnson and the Libertarian Party moved over there, he's also not establishment. And he's not getting any coverage, but Ron Paul is doing very well despite the prostitutes ignoring him and doing all this it's almost backfiring on them because people are realizing that if the press is doing all this stuff, maybe he's got something after all. And so in a political sense, I personally very strongly endorse Ron Paul as being a solution on the presidential level for what ails this country. And I would love to see him continue to improve in his exposure to the people. He definitely deserves it.
You think he's got a snowball's chance of winning?
I do. I think he could win. And even if he doesn't win the election because of election fraud or whatever thing that the powers that be try and pull on us, think of all the, look at how he has molded the presidential election discussion. People are talking about the Federal Reserve. They're talking about, these issues of should we be taking our troops home. And he's bringing up these issues that they wouldn't even talk about before.
The only thing that worries me about that, and I don't want to interject too much negativity here. I like some of the things that he says. I just hope this doesn't turn into another deal where it becomes a three-way split, and we wind up with the new boss, which is the old boss, and there's no change and less hope.
Back to what we were talking about earlier, we are going into a time of empowerment. The powers that be are on their way out. We're going to win. And everything we can do to support principles of freedom and free energy and alternative health and alternative thinking, these programs like Coast to Coast AM are just doing a phenomenal job of getting people to wake up to their human potential and to what we should be doing as a human species rather than what the establishment wants us to do and turning into a bunch of slaves.
Would you like to take a few calls next hour?
I'd be glad to.
Well, I'll tell you what, when we come back after the massive top of the hour break, I'll move us along so that we can have nice long sweeps to the bottom of the hour. And then perhaps you could bring us, before we do that, we can talk about, is it Plasm ERG?
Yeah.
And is it Defcalion?
Uh-huh.
Okay, good. Well, I want to talk about those. That'll round out our five. And we will just carry on. I would also like to hear about any men in black that are creeping around. Those are, you got to admire their suits. They're coordinated, the black tie and the black suits with the black shoes and the black hats and the black sunglasses. They're intimidating, but are they effective? Less and less all the time, I would submit to you. Our guest tonight, Sterling M. Allen, with a lot more than hope for the future. This is more like a promise, and this is Coast to Coast AM.